How are your clients been handling all this volatility that's been with us for a while?
We've been fine. We do our monthly calls and asset allocation and alternatives which haven't moved and blue chips that are defensive and munis that have gone up, and our assets went from 250 to 246 million, I think, from peak to trough.
Wow. That's terrific. I asked it for a specific reason, and I'm not talking just to Steve here. Never forget that one of the ways that you earn your management fees, what your clients are paying you, is during times like this. You keep them calm when many of them may want to panic. One of the ways that you keep them from not panicking is having regular conversations with them, making sure that you have them in the proper asset allocation. It's just without communication from their advisor, I'm talking about clients in general, clients make up a lot of stuff. We're scared, we're afraid, we don't know what to do. So just keep up the communication. It will pay dividends. And if I have time today, I'll get to it. I'm not sure I will. The best time to have a referral conversation is when clients say thank you. And when you're talking with clients in times like this, and keeping them calm and reminding them of the volatility and they're in the right asset allocation and you've got the alternative investments and all of that, you're going to hear from on a regular basis, well, thank you, Steve, for calling. I really feel a lot better, or whatever. That's a compliment. The best time to have a conversation, a referral conversation, is when clients say thank you. So it just, I know you're communicating well. You're getting paid for it with the lack of people bolting and going somewhere else. So, good report that you don't have a lot of people panicking. Anything you want to talk about, Steve, before I get started?
We've been going back and forth a lot over email. I told you what I thought we should talk about, but you drive the ship.
I'm gonna get there fairly quickly. Let me drive a little bit a circuitous route to get there. Since our last call in July, on July 9th, I've reread my notes. Yesterday, I listened to the July 11th call in its entirety. At the end of that call, I told Steve that the number one priority for the team is for Steve to decide how many people he wants to have primary responsibility for. Until that is done, until Steve decides how many clients he wants to have primary responsibility for, it's like solving a math problem with all variables. As you all know, if you've done any math, you can't solve a problem with all variables. There's got to be something constant in the equation. So, Steve, have you had that conversation? I'm not looking for I guess I am looking for an exact number. Have you thought about that? How many you want to have?
Yes.
How many?
It's going to be 65 is the number. But then you've got the friends and family on top, but I think those have to be excluded.
So 65 is the number that isn't WRS or family. Is that what it adds up to?
Yeah, it's 65. So here's the question. 65 seems like the number. Plus family and friends, because you got to keep those.
Well, remember, We've been at this a long time, Steve, and it wouldn't be realistic for me to expect you to remember everything we talked about. One of the categories we have are what we call butlers. Butlers are people that you have to keep. There's a reason beyond the size of their relationship that's keeping them in your practice. They don't count in the number because they don't get 1242. For example, if your best client's secretary has a $30,000 relationship, you're keeping it because you wouldn't fire her or him because that wouldn't be smart. But you also wouldn't be calling her every month. That wouldn't be smart either. A $30,000 relationship doesn't need to hear from you every month. It's our belief that, those people get two contacts a year scheduled. That way, so they don't count in the number. So you've got 65 clients, and how many butlers did you say you had?
Probably 8 butlers that come along with them, plus 10 friends and family. So I think that's 18.
Okay. All right. So if a client asks you how many relationships you have, the friends and the friends and family and the butlers don't count because they don't take up the same amount of time. So now I'm going to ask
Pardon?
What, 65? Is that reflected here? So 65. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we also have a category that we added, which was growth, which aren't in the 65,
yep.
but have
yep.
upside. So they will replace the 65, right? So they're the ones that we grow into.
Now, when they're in that category, Steve, is that the same thing as prospects?
So I guess you could theoretically say I've got 70, 72, 73. No, they're actually paying clients, some which are being serviced on the 1242, some of which are just on a quarterly cycle, but people that are paying customers or clients that are on their way to having their liquidity events or are on the path to becoming significant clients within a couple of years.
All right. Is it your belief that you are the best person to stay in touch with those folks?
So I would say half of those are joint between Sam and I, and half of those are legacy clients of mine.
Okay. So one of the things that we have recommended is that when you've got a good prospect, that you treat them like a client. Let them live what it's like to be part of your practice. It's not just words. They're actually living it. And when they're hearing from you instead during volatile times, and not hearing from their present advisor, that sends a strong message. So we can't solve the issue of the right people in the right seats until I know how many people you have primary responsibility for. Now, if you want to put some prospects in there, that's fine. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. So, would you guys say they are prospects? I mean, they're paying clients, but they are also have prospect-like capabilities.
Yeah.
They're sort of in between, right? We have somebody
in some capacity.
Someone with $1 million is a paying client, but he's 2 years out from selling a business that could be $5 million. Is that a prospect or is that a client?
That is somebody that I think that would be best handled by you. You were the initial person on these relationships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't flow well. I'm just going to make this up. If you've got a $1 million relationship, who's got a liquidity event, which will make her a really great client, to ask Sam, for example, to take that over, and then you take him back after the liquidity event, that feels a little cumbersome to me.
Okay. So,
agreed?
All right. So let's, for sake of argument, just for safety today, say 75, and we'll take a hard look at it.
So the 75 includes 75 includes prospects, and,
yes.
And I'm okay. So that somebody with $1 million who's got a liquidity event is going to stay with you.
Yes, we'll just say that for simplicity, and then that's one of our homework pieces.
All right. So now let me deviate just a touch, and this gets into I'll start. What are some of the major things, Steve, that you did to double your business? I don't need everything you did, but if you were going to give a lecture and it's three reasons I doubled my business, what would those three things be?
I'll give you a couple. One, I got credibility, which was letters after my name, CFP, CIMA. Two, I interviewed clients and found out who my advocates were and have a referral network built around clients but not professionals. Three, I improve the quality of the teammates I have dramatically.
Okay.
Four would be your service model, which has a 12 to 18 month lag. Tops. Between installing it and seeing the benefits. So understand, that was the first time. This time we're already running. Already doing the running, so now it's just about getting becoming smoother and turning it on faster.
All right. Earlier, you told me you weren't networking the way. Let me finish. Since you weren't networking the way you used to network, did I hear that correctly?
I would say there are languaging skills we could improve upon, and because of the doubling of the business since we've last spoken, it's been reactive. The strategy behind it is not as proactive.
Okay. So if I ask you, what are a couple of things that you aren't doing now that you were doing during that time you doubled your practice, what would those two things be? Succinctly,
I'm not having regular schedule. Well, I have one high-end networking group that I leverage once a month, and building the right relationships and repeatedly seeing those people, I'm not doing, and having those partnering dialogues, I'm not doing. But understand, I've never been able to successfully have repeatable business generated from a professional network. It's just something I've always been missing.
All right. Why? When you say you're not having the partnering dialogues, why did you stop doing that or slow down on doing that?
I think it's just you're having repeat meetings, having repeat interactions on a regular basis, and discipline.
All right, and I would guess that you have less time because your practice has doubled than you used to have.
I would say preparation and focus.
Okay, but is it fair to say that with the doubling of your practice, you've lost some of the flexibility in your schedule.
Yeah.
You said that in the hesitant way. What are you thinking?
A time, yes, I would say that. Yes.
All right.
And I'm going to come back to a time sync later.
Say it again, please.
I'm going to come back to a time sync later, but keep going.
All right. So if you've doubled your business, there were things that you did to double your business. Your business has gotten larger. You've got less flexibility. You don't have as much time for some of the things that helped you double the business. So that gets us, guess where that gets us? It gets back to deciding how much, how many people you're going to be responsible for, and how Sam and Wilson, how much they're going to be responsible for. So when you look, let's go back. The more time I can create, or you can create for yourself, Steve, the faster your practice will grow, and the more time you will have to do the things in your life that help you decompress. Do you accept that?
Yes.
All right. So when we look at, everybody has that email in front of them from June 16th?
No. Which email was that?
Last, I asked you to have that segmentation in front of every client.
I have our book segmentation in front of everybody.
Okay. All right. So
like I actually gave them the segmentation of our clients. I thought that's what you wanted.
Yes. It was an email. I'm reading from an email you sent me on June the 16th.
Okay. So they actually have the grid. Okay, then they have it.
Okay. All right. So here's now again. This is going to be exact, but it's going to be pretty close. From that email on the 17th, which you all have another have it in a different form. 95 households were 90% of your revenue. 110 households were 93% of the revenue. All right? Now, if I look at those 110 households that are 93% of your revenue, then we can look and see if you're going to be responsible for, we're saying 75, including those people who are prospects, who are clients, who are going to have a liquidity event. That means that 75 from 110, that leaves 35 households unaccounted for if we're looking at 93% of the revenues. Does that make sense to anybody?
So you mean the bottom 7%?
I looked at the, yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. 110 households give you 93%.
Yes.
Okay, and so that means to cover 93% of your revenue, if you've got 75 households, that leaves 35 unaccounted for or not assigned. You with me, Steve?
Oh, I get it. It's all the gray ones, guys.
Yeah. How's this filter here?
By
tier?
Tier. So it's all the gray ones, guys.
Yeah, the W or S's?
Yeah. Those are the ones that are loosely serviced.
The 7%?
Yeah.
Now, aren't some of those headed to your investment channel or whatever you call it?
We did that.
We did.
Yeah, a handful.
There
was a small number.
I think five.
But we went through and for another handful turned on like a LifeView monitor and MS on it, making sure we're getting the full payout for those smaller accounts. Wilson and I also took the time to further segment that 7% on who he's comfortable being the relationship manager on and who I can take over as well. And we're actively now starting to schedule calls and or meetings with these clients and over a period of time take them over. It's going to be a case-by-case basis in terms of who will easily go along with it, who we need to leverage Steve a little for, who's going to be really growing from being paid attention to more, et cetera. So it's going to be a work in progress, but we've segmented that piece.
Okay. Sam, is that you, Sam?
It is, yeah.
Okay. All right. I think you're making it too hard. Easy for me to say, sitting in my office looking out in a, you know, I don't have to go to work today. It seems simple to me. Let's look at it this way. You got 100. Let's go back to the 110 number, which is the number of households that account for 93% of the revenue. Is there? And I'm going to ask you to guess. Is there anybody in that bottom 7% that, if they transferred out, you all would be horribly disappointed? Does anybody come to mind?
No. For me or for Steve?
Anybody.
Well,
no.
So, you know, when you said this is going to take some time and...
Some are no work in revenue. No, I mean, we could...
We live.
Okay, and I'm not suggesting.
You got there's three classes of people, right? You got no work. You got, because I had these guys do this, a little bit of work, but then that's all hands on deck at some point, which then you got to jettison, and then you've got potential. And I would say that middle class is the one you definitely jettison.
Okay. So you've got some people in that bottom 7%. If you didn't call them for a year, they'd still be there.
Yeah.
So here's Sam, how many households do you show right now? What's the most recent number you have? I'm working with 163 on the sheet that Steve sent me back in June.
What are the total number of households here?
Yeah, say 163. We've added a couple of bigger clients since then, but go to 163.
Okay, so let's look at it just a little bit differently. Let's, instead of talking about a 93% of your business, let's talk about 100% of your business. That's 163 households. Agreed?
Yep.
Okay. Now, to cover 163 households, and you're not going to cover 163 households, because some of those are butlers, some of them probably are going to end up going to the channel. But here's how it could be, and I'm not suggesting this, but this is simpler than I'm allowing you to make it. 163 households, that means Steve could have 60, Sam could have 60, and Wilson could have 43. I'm not suggesting those are the right numbers. What I'm pointing out, and Steve, I'm confirming what you and I, one of the things you and I talked about via email, is you've got the power there. You've got the team that can to handle 163 households if you want to. So if you... I would rather there be a. So here's the way I would look at this. You, Steve, have to identify the people that you're responsible for. Not just say it's 63 people or 65 or 8. What I need you to have the list of the names of the people that you're for whom you're going to have primary responsibility.
And then
listen to me. Once that's done, that's a significant portion of your practice. Agreed?
Yeah.
I would guess that's probably 90%, 95% of your production. I'm just guessing. So once you make that decision, and this is goes back to you can't solve a math problem with all variables. Once you get that done, now we know what's left over and how you're going to assign responsibility for those people. I know that Wilson has some, you have some administrative responsibilities. Am I right, Wilson?
Yes, I primarily do the call scheduling.
Yeah, okay. So I know you've got other things. So I don't know what the right number is. I know once Steve knows his right number and who those people are, and again, remember, all you've got to do is identify them. We may make some minor adjustments after you see that list and then after Sam and Wilson put together their portion. But once you've got that number, Steve, you can go on your merry way with making sure that you're covering these people, covering the folks who are going to have a liquidity event, having more VIPSA conversations, having more COIs. You know, just envision you've got a practice and you've got a total of 75 clients in that practice. That's what this is like. Are you with me?
Steve, don't we already have that here?
I think we've done that. I just have to have the conversations.
What conversations do you have to have, Steve?
It's the we need somebody else to be involved conversation and me step in the background.
Yes. Yes.
I thought we were making it a non-event.
Say it again.
Yeah.
I thought
it's a non-event.
Yeah. I don't think we need to have those conversations. I mean, there are going to be clients in the gray area that don't want to talk to me or Wilson, and they're going to be stubborn. But I think again, that's going to be a case by case. We really have it segmented out here, I think.
Sam, we can't spend a lot of time, and I hope you take this the right way, worrying about two or three people who may put up a fuss, and that keeping and transferring that to that. All none of these people are going to want to leave Steve. I understand why they wouldn't want to leave Steve, but you've got to go forward with what's right for the practice, which is going to end up, I would guess, I'd be pretty sure, of some people are going to get improved service. There are some folks that think they are have been working with Steve, but maybe Steve hasn't gotten to them as often as he would have 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years
ago. I completely agree. Couldn't agree more.
Listen to me. You're going to be an upgrade. Nothing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Go ahead.
Well, I will be a director of alternative investments next year, I can leverage that and say that I have to relinquish certain clients and take on others as a result of this quote-unquote promotion. So I can leverage that as this is why I'm building a team. There's a back door I've been working on.
There is what you do, and I don't think it's going to be hard to do, is you have to present this to people as a upgrade in service. Because it is going to be in many cases. If there's some people in the folks you're going to keep who aren't hearing from you as often as you would like for them to hear from you, I know there's going to be some in the ones that you're not covering who haven't heard from you for a while.
You're also running into the issue that if it's going to get more volatile, we need more hands on deck to make sure we are serving them appropriately.
You got it. That's part of the whole thought process when you go through a lot of volatility. One thing that concerns me right now, and this is away from Supernova, is that there's so many people who say every time it goes down, it'll come back. I've got a 13-year-old grandson who has an account, a UGMA, and every time it goes down, Grandpa, it'll come back. I don't worry about it. I think there's too many people like that right now. And when that happens, you know what that almost guarantees is there's going to be a really ugly one, and people are going to get scared. And what you do in those cases is you have to be able to come back and talk about how you have balanced risk and reward through having the right asset allocation. Proactive calls in volatile markets are much more effective than reactive calls. You learned that early on, Steve. What you say proactively holds more power than what you say when people are calling in scared. Agreed?
Agreed.
So this is a very simple, I'm not saying easy, I'm saying simple. Steve identifies the people that he's going to keep by name. Then Wilson and Sam, I would give them this responsibility, Steve. I would not get involved in it except to look at it when it's done. They get together and they decide how they're going to cover the rest of the practice.
Yeah, all of this has been done.
Done or doing. Okay. Well, sometimes it's to get me more.
Well, Sam, if it's already done,
yeah.
Why isn't it done?
So it is done. In terms of it being implemented, that's just in terms of it getting scheduled, which it's current, you know, at the end of August, but that is what we're working on now, is actually implementing it. But in terms of segmenting the names, I mean, we have it all done.
Has Steve wants the service,
who Wilson and I are servicing, we're in implementation stage right now.
Okay. Steve, have you looked at what Wilson and Sam are doing name by name?
No.
We've left them out of it on purpose. I handed them a list and said, this is what we're doing, and this is okay. Where we are, and this is the next step.
Sam, that's the perfect way to do it. You and Sam and Wilson do the work, and then Steve, you've got to look at it just to make sure somebody hasn't come unlinked or, you know, that we can't do this because she's attached to this. Just making sure that you agree with what they're doing. I don't want you to do the work.
There's been half a dozen cases Sam has identified upside that I didn't even know was remotely possible.
Terrific. You've done the work. Now it's time to implement it. I mean, Steve, do you know specifically what your accounts, what accounts you're going to have?
Apparently, when I get up this call, I'm going to draw the line.
98 right now.
98. Yeah.
Well,
the hammer.
That's to me. One of the things.
Who asked you?
Hey, Steve, one of the things you told me early on is that you touch too many accounts. I got it in writing. Well, I've got it in email. You're like the conductor here. You lead, but you're not playing all the instruments. You don't have to play all the instruments. So. You've got to identify the folks that you're keeping, making sure that that's solid, making sure that what Pam and Wilson are working on, what they're going to do, and then decide how you're going to present it. I mean, this is it's simple, not easy. So, Sam, what do you need? What do you need from? What do you need to hear from Steve?
I don't think there's anything I need to hear from him at this stage. You know, I'm going to be coming to him before a call with all of my segmented clients and reviewing what he's done, what tips he might have, and what we need to do. Some of them I'm already comfortable with. Some he has more knowledge than I. But that's going to be done over the course of the next month.
Okay. Do you have a script you're working from? Do you know what you're going to say to these people?
Yeah, it's really going to depend. I mean, if they have a financial plan and MS Online and asset aggregation and all their assets here, it's going to be babysitting, and we're going to follow the script of whatever the monthly topic is. And I'm going to make sure that they're actually on a schedule, and I'm going to ask them what works best for them, whether it's quarterly or monthly. But if there's a piece of that lagging, that's an opportunity for us to deepen and improve the relationship. So if we don't have a financial plan for them, maybe it's worth our time doing so, and that's something I'm going to be working on.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's how you find assets.
Yep.
That's how you get referrals. So here's what I would like. Here, you got another 5 minutes, Steve?
Yeah.
Here's what I would like you to think about, Sam. You call a client, tell them that you're going to have primary responsibility, or however you're going to say it, and the client says, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say?
Well, Let me stop you.
When you get an objection, and this just isn't in this case, it's are you married?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Steve this question. If I've been married 50 years. Every day, my wife and I haven't agreed. But if we're disagreeing about something, what she wants to know is she's being heard.
Yeah.
I don't just blow through it. So when somebody says, I don't want to do it, that's an objection. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So you have to demonstrate that you're hearing it. Ms. Jones, I can understand why this is a change for you.
Yeah.
Now you've demonstrated you heard it.
Okay.
Let me tell you why this, I think, you will like even better than what you've had before.
Okay.
This is an upgrade, Sam.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not too worried about that. I think we will run into that, but we're really trying to make it a non-event. And I think we have the wording down pretty well. I've used it plenty of times. And
so we probably should just come up with a couple of other reasons why it is an upgrade for clients and recognize that we need to make sure they're heard if there's an objection.
Yeah. Now, you've got to be careful, Steve, that in talking about why this is an upgrade, they're not unintentionally denigrating what you've done. These are the things that I think will make you happy with this change. First of all, Steve is still here. Secondly, you know, we're going to set up regularly scheduled meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to present a financial plan that will be reviewed on a regular basis and implemented. So,
yeah.
I mean, it just makes all the sense. It makes all the sense in the world. So here's anything else before I wrap up here?
Yeah, one more. Probably one of my largest time sinks.
Say that again.
The largest time sink I have is travel to client meetings.
Yeah.
Do you have a solution? Or is that just something that most, as you reduce your client count,
if you have, the Supernova model is 12-4-2. Not 12 contacts. Four of those are quarterly reviews. Two of those are face to face. How often are you How often are you meeting with clients right now?
Well, you said two, so two. But you know this. You do ignoring the fact this is golf season. You have a couple live in Arizona. You have a couple of clients that live in Florida. 80.
Okay. Yeah, but see, you can't. You did you promise when you rolled Supernova out? Did you promise the people in Florida you'd visit them twice a year?
Well, they're also among the top. They're among the A's, right? But you still have the top, right? But then you also have Connecticut. You have across to, just out of, in the area of Boston, which you worked in a major suburb. Major city, you know how much fun it is to leave the city. So you have the travel issue, but it does take time.
Okay, you have to use common sense here. If you've got somebody in Alaska, you can't promise you'll meet with them twice a year. So you might think about with those people. Again, if somebody has $500 million with you. I'm making it up. You'll see them twice a year and smile the whole trip, right? Not half a billion. I meant. You're gonna go see them. But for the majority of your clients, you can offer 12-4. Four of those are quarterly reviews, and then you can always work in a trip to see them. So my here's my point. I'm wondering, you got to use common sense.
Okay.
If you could say to a client, you said it was during golf season, you might want to say to them, would you like to do this review over the phone? Most clients are going to be okay with that. I think in Boston, unless Boston, driving through Boston has gotten a lot better since I did it. That's a pretty tough ask to go out and see somebody who has $2 million with you.
Okay.
So,
is that a tough ask or not a tough ask?
It is a tough ask. So I think you've got to use. If you have somebody set up,
I try to cluster the visits together. By the way,
okay. Well, let's say you've got somebody set up on 12-4-2, and your in person is next next Thursday. I see nothing wrong with calling that client and say we're scheduled to meet on next Thursday. Would you? Rather do that face to face, or would you rather do it over the phone?
Okay.
But if you know, you've got to use again. If you've got somebody who's got $50 million with you, you're gonna stay on that face to face schedule.
What homework would you like us to have? We've all read the Supernova Multiplier, or at least two of us have. I'm making my way through the Supernova Teams book. I know Bree is. Mm-hmm. What else would you like us to do?
Well, here's what I would like for you to do. When we meet next, I would like for you to have those people specifically identified. If you've already done it, then I'd ask you just to make sure that it's correct. I would like to have what Sam and Wilson are responsible for specifically identified, and I would like for Sam and Wilson to have had a couple of these calls and get this process started. Any task, once you get started on it, becomes a lot easier. So that's the best homework that I can ask of you.
All right.
Got it?
Easy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.